The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord. Then he came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said to him, "Quiet, come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's this cold snap. I've missed you. It's been so awful. And I know the one Sunday we had to cancel Mass, and last Sunday I flew solo because it was so absolutely freezing. And so it's good to have all of you back. And I just want you to know, as your priest, I love you. I pray for you every day. You are just so important to me. Mm-hmm. So let us begin, shall we? Basalt. You know what basalt is? It's a rock. Yeah, it's a rock that's formed out of volcanic lava, which turns gray to almost black in color. And when you polish it, it's shiny and brilliant, almost like a gem. Now, we know that people made buildings out of materials that happened to be handy, right? That's why, I mean, why else would people in Kansas and the great expansion of the West Coast plant themselves and make sod houses? I mean, that's not, we wouldn't go out, "Hey, you know what I'm going to build a house out of? How about sod? Yeah, that sounds great." We usually do it out of what's handy. What we often forget is that Palestine is mountainous. In Capernaum, the main material available at the time of Jesus is basalt. Chuck, could you try to close the door back there, please? Consequently, all the buildings are gray, black, and smallish by today's standards. In the midst of these smallish, black, basalt buildings stood the synagogue, in which the setting of today's story from the Gospel of Mark takes place. It was a 60-foot-long structure and had a gabled roof. Now, this is much different than the flat roof or the lean-to roof line of the other buildings in the community. To distinguish the synagogue from just any building in the village of Capernaum, even more, the people there built the synagogue out of white limestone. The place where they were to worship, hear the word of God, read and teach the word of God, was a place that was set apart in the community. The visuals must have been striking. I can imagine walking into the village and getting accustomed to the gray black of the basalt buildings as you walk through. You know how we get accustomed to things? Then you turn the corner and see this synagogue. And ba-boom! Right, in contrasting stone. I could even imagine myself having my breath taken away. You know, stop. Incredible. Similar to the striking visual of the synagogue in Capernaum was Jesus teaching in that same place. In fact, all the things that happened in Capernaum in the Gospels, which were many, were striking. I'd love for you to read through the Gospel of Mark, pay attention to where they are, underline where they are in your Bibles, and then take note of all the things that happened in Capernaum. Mark stresses the fact that Jesus' actions in Capernaum are done by one who has authority. It is interesting that we find a possessed man in the synagogue confronting Jesus, isn't it not? Even in Jesus' day, there was evil in the church alongside the good. I want you to never forget that. There is always evil in the church alongside the good. Always something scratching to try to get us to go off of our path. There are always hard times in our lives. Or there may be times that we're doing great. We may handle the great things with aplomb. We may have gotten to the point where we don't let things ruffle us too badly. Yet there's always something with which to deal. We may run into all kinds of trouble, or we may have all kinds of good problems to have. We may be running along, doing a lot of work, and only worry is to get rest. And our only worry, I should say, is to get rest. Whatever the situation, wouldn't it be nice to have something we knew had authority in our corner? For the people in Capernaum, it was striking the authority with which Jesus spoke to them. Usually they had a Pharisee who was a lay person who had studied the scriptures and gave some teaching about them, but was clear when they taught that the scriptures were the authoritative source. Unlike the Pharisees, we have Jesus, whose presence is authoritative. He's able to teach like he wrote it, because he did. He was able to face the evil in this world and command its removal. And it was. He spoke and it happened. Just like in Genesis, when God created, he spoke and it happened. It is the evil one, the demon in the story, that points out who Jesus is. There will never be a time when you do something well and evil is not close at hand. St. Paul tells us that. It has been my experience, the better and more faithful you do something, the more evil is at hand. Can't have that. Mm-mm. You're getting too close to Jesus. It ought not be a surprise that we would find evil in the church, because that is where there is also the most good. John Henry Cardinal Newman left everything as a priest in the Anglican Church at Oxford to become Catholic. He left his friends in Anglicanism to do what he thought he needed to do, compelled by his conscience. And when he did, he was treated so horribly at the hands of the Catholic Church. For decades, until Leo XIII became Pope, Newman was shunned and given the worst assignments, the worst jobs. Was it jealousy? Probably. Was it selfishness? Possibly. Was it evil? Definitely. In those times, where do we go? We go to where Jesus is in our lives, and we listen to him. That's where we go. Even if the evil spirits of the world acknowledge that Jesus is the Holy One of God, so can we. If even they can do that, so can we. The more we go to Christ through the reading of Scripture, through daily prayer, through the listening of the counsel of our spiritual director or priest, and through the reception of the Eucharist, we grow in faith and we become more open to God. The more we do these things, the more we realize that we start living our lives and live them for God. The context of being part of Jesus Christ changes our ability to make it in this world. When Jesus Christ is the authority of our lives become stronger, bolder, livelier, and more joyful. I remember I had an electrician on the job in my side hustle, the flipping of the houses. He said, "You pray every morning?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "Don't you feel like that kind of makes you weak?" I said, "How so?" "Well, you got to lean on somebody. Are you weak?" I said, "No. As a matter of fact, it makes me stronger, bolder, livelier, more joyful." I said, "I know I got somebody in my corner who loves me no matter what. I could screw up all day long. And at the end of the day, He may confront me. He may make me face up to what I've done. But he's going to love me. That's sure and certain. If we pay attention, if we embrace the Christian life that we are given in our baptism, encountering Christ can be as striking as that white limestone synagogue in the midst of basalt buildings. We begin to ask ourselves, why did I listen to those people instead of the Lord? Why did I doubt myself when he is king of the universe and he spoke to me in my heart as what I should do? Why did I think I was no good when I was made through him and for him? You know, there's only one creation and the creation story where God made it on that day and he stepped back and he went, ha ha, very good. And that was us. Everything else he said, oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. But when he made us, he said, that is very good. If there's anything that you do, go home, get a 3x5 card, tape it to the mirror in your bathroom, and before you do, write on it, I am very good. God said so. Evil uses our uncertainty and doubt to separate us from our baptismally given confidence in Jesus Christ. The demon in the gospel for today is calling out Jesus' name in the midst of people who are hopeful and humanly uncertain. We want the Messiah. Is he the Messiah? The demon was trying to divide the people through using truth to set opposing claims against one another. The demon was seeking advantage in the war for our souls by creating a question, is this the one for whom we've been waiting? Naturally, divisions would flow from people who in the passage were perplexed as to how it was that Jesus could teach with authority, heal, and drive out demons. A spirit in the movie The Polar Express, they have a great line, and I have a whole homily written on that, and it's, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. It's the same concept here. When we believe, we see. When we doubt, it becomes cloudy and murky, and there's chaos. That's exactly what the devil wants. When evil speaks truth, when the devil speaks truth to us, which it does and he does, they use truth to divide. Usually it's 31-30 seconds truth and 1-30 second off. So it convinces us. Evil weaponizes truth for its own end. Like a suicide bomber, the demon gives himself up in this gospel, but plants the seed of division so that in the end, at least some will not believe in Jesus. We have had that happen to us in our lives. I have. I've run into people who have known me in my greatest defeats in life, and I've had some whoppers. Go big or go home. And there are many times I went home. And there were people seeing me dragging my tail behind me on my way home. And when these people see me, the good ones will come up to me on the side and ask me, are you okay? They'll tell me, I hope you're well. The evil ones will say out loud, hey, didn't I know you when? And they'll name my that failure from which they knew me. When evil knows your name, it uses your history or your identity in the worst of ways. It interprets what you do in the worst possible light. It does so to gain power and advantage over you. Somebody will see you and they'll go, I know why you're doing that. And they'll ascribe to it some evil intention. You're just being selfish when actually what you're doing is you're picking up a little bit more of what's there at the food pantry so you can deliver it to your neighbor who couldn't get there. But it doesn't look like that, does it? I know what you're doing. In the end, the goal of evil is to humiliate so that it can cripple, alienate, and destroy you. I want you to remember that. That's the goal. When you hear those negative words, the intent is to humiliate you so that it can cripple, alienate, and destroy you. Rebuke it. Do not be taken in by it. On the other hand, the power of Jesus Christ, as we can see from this story, is to drive out things that possess us. The power of Christ is meant to teach us truth so that we can buttress ourselves against the evil of life. The power of Christ heals us of our illnesses and our diseases and clears out our ailments and our demons. In the end, the goal of Christ is to heal, help, give life, and to restore. That's a far cry from cripple, alienate, and destroy. Jesus' aim is to heal, help, give life, and restore. And in the midst of our human lives, where we are tempted to doubt or be uncertain, we must remember who Jesus Christ is. We don't follow any teacher. We follow the teacher. We don't have just any friend. We have the friend. We aren't in just any relationship with just any lover. We are in the relationship with the lover of souls. We are not bowing down to just any power-hungry Lord who seeks to drive us down to lift himself up. We bow down to the Lord who first lowered himself to become one of us so as to lift us up. Exemplary, that is Jesus. Authoritative, that is Jesus. Good, that is Jesus. Life-giving, that is Jesus. Loving, that is Jesus. Savior, that is Jesus. We know him. We know him better than the demons who try to distract us from our purpose given to us in our baptism. We ought to seek his healing for our souls every day, every moment of every day. We ought to draw from his authority to live our lives through the hard times and the good times. So bring whatever it is that you have today that is placed before you. Bring whatever is hurting you. Bring whatever is vexing you. Bring whatever is accusing you. Bring whatever doubts you have. Bring all of that. Bring it all and lay it at the feet of the cross so that Jesus Christ can take that and change it and redeem it in you. Bring whatever you have. Lean on the one who heals those possessed of demons. Walk with the one who carries you when you cannot walk. Be amazed by the one who teaches with authority, unlike so much in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we often come to you as if you are an insignificant thought, a guiding principle that is nice and easy. Help us to be honest with you about who we are, what we have done, and what we have failed to do. Give us the strength we need to live as your disciples, filled with the authority that frees us to be peaceful, joyful, and confident children of the living God. Make us as pure as a white temple in the midst of a gray, blackish, and uncertain life. Amen. God bless the preaching of the gospel in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.